Hey, it's Eric Rapich from fitnessbusinessinterviews.com, and today I'm here with Scott Bollinger of PressCoders.com. Now, I brought Scott on here for a few reasons. First, he was the guy who was kind of behind the scenes who put together a bunch of the graphics for the Rising Stars event that we did. Second, he's an expert when it comes to website design, how to get your fitness website up and running. And third, he does a bunch of behind the scenes work for a couple of the big dogs in the industry, so he's definitely doing some cool things and he knows his stuff. And now there's a lot of people out there talking about, you know, advanced website things, you know, sales, conversions, all those types of things. But there's a lot of newcomers, and there's a lot of people who have a fitness business who still don't have a website up and running. So I brought Scott on here to kind of, I guess, feed into some of the newcomers and explain exactly how to get your website up and running and that whole process. So, Scott, sorry for the long intro, but thanks for being here.
No worries. Yeah, thanks for having me. All right. Today I think we just kind of wanted to go over, you know, for there's a couple different places you could be. Number one is if you don't have your own business and you kind of want to start your own business, what are the things you need to do to get online and to sort of get traffic to your website? How does it all work? And number two is if you have your own website, you already have your own business, what are things you can do to improve that online business? Or say, you know, you have an extra idea, something you want to just kind of try out on the side for inexpensive, you know, how to get that going. So,
okay. Now, obviously, you know, it's really important to have an online presence and have a website. Like I said, there's still people who have fitness businesses who don't have a website, and there are the newcomers. It was probably kind of one of the things I screwed up when I first started was just not having a plan in place when I had launched my business. What type of plans, like for a newcomer, let's say, what type of plan should they have if they're looking to jump online and get a website up and running?
Well, I've done a lot of websites for a lot of people, and usually the way people go at it is they say, I want to start a business. I want to, you know, train some clients online. I want to start up a nutrition store. I want to sell some products online, make some extra money, whatever it is. And they say, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to get a website up and put some products on there and start selling some products. And after that, I'll figure out, you know, how to get traffic to it or whatever. I think that's totally a backwards way to do it. So the best way to go about things is to start your idea with how you're going to get traffic and customers to your site. Because I think it's a rude awakening when you spend a bunch of money on a website, you get it looking all pretty and fancy, and you put these products up, and you're like, okay, you know, you look at your analytics or you look at your sales and like nothing's happening. And you're like, okay, maybe it's going to take some time. A couple weeks later, nothing's happening. A month later, nothing's happening. You know, and then eventually months down the road, you're like, oh, you get busy doing other things. And then, you know, no sales are still coming in and just nothing ever becomes of it. So the best thing, in my opinion, to do is to start with a traffic strategy. So if you look at companies like, you know, say Google actually started with a search engine where they weren't actually selling anything. And they brought a bunch of traffic to their site, and then they started doing ads and they monetized it. Facebook is the same way. Facebook brought a bunch of people to their site. They didn't actually make any money until they started, you know, doing ads and other things. And although it takes a little bit of time, you're going to have to sort of do it on the side. You're going to have to make money in a different way for a little bit. This is far and away the fastest way to start making money online, because if you build up an audience, then when you start having things to sell, you can figure out later kind of what people want to buy, or you can basically, if you make traffic the main strategy, you give away free content, people start coming to your site, and that is by far the hardest thing to do with websites is getting traffic. So I've seen it done time and time again, like in my industry, in the website design industry, people will give away free stuff, they'll give away free resources, tutorials, whatever. You know, in the fitness industry, there's lots of different things you can do. You know, you can do blogging, you can do interviews like you do. I mean, your site's a great example where you're doing all these great interviews. You're giving people, you know, free resources and information, and it's a great strategy to get traffic. You're not just saying, hey, my name's Eric, buy my stuff. You know, it's like you're giving away a real valuable resource to people. And that's the perfect place to start, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's probably to get traffic, the most important thing is just valuable content.
Yeah.
You know, like you said, you can't just put up anything and expect people to come. It's got to deliver some kind of value, and that's a really important strategy. That should be kind of the main strategy, but even then, sometimes it takes a little while for things to get rolling, for traffic to come in, even if you are putting up some really killer content. What are some of the other basic things that are working now in terms of traffic strategies?
Well, the most important thing is to separate yourself. I mean, right now the internet is just a sea of mediocrity, and it's there's so many blogs out there that are just, they're okay. And there's so much content out there now that if you're not putting out really, really killer content, you might as well not be doing anything at all. So instead of kind of trying to focus on, you know, making a blog post like every day or every week, write a blog post like once every 2 weeks and make it and put in like hours every day on this blog post and make it just incredibly amazing. And I mean, one blog post that's really, really high quality could do better than, you know, 50 blog posts that are just sort of mediocre. So you really, really have to put a lot of time and effort into it these days because, you know, blogging and internet and traffic and everything, it's not as easy as it was, you know, say 5 years ago.
Right. And one of the things I'm starting to notice now, too, is like they always talk about people blogging. Make sure you get a blog post out every day. But what happens is I think you kind of saturate your website so much that people don't have time to absorb the content that you're giving out. If you're putting so much out every day, it kind of devalues it a little bit. At least that's what I'm seeing. I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, yeah, I think it'd be – I mean, it depends on the blog. I mean, if you say, like, blogs that I follow, say if it's, like, a news sort of blog or something and they're just putting up quick posts on, like, what happened that day, that's a little bit different. But, yeah, for the most part, what, like, small businesses are going to do is they're going to need to get enough content and gather it up and write a really good blog post, you know, with, like, video and great images and maybe infographics and some data that they, you know, mined and all kinds of things like that. That's just impossible to do every single day. It's, and especially if you're just like a one man show, two man show, small team, whatever. It doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm. So obviously content is one way and having, you know, solid blog posts and delivering consistently is important to getting traffic. Maybe is there a couple other things that work well in terms of bringing in some more visitors to the site?
Well, there's also, you know, just sort of SEO strategies that we've been talking about, content-based strategies. If you talk about also another part of that, just getting into a little bit about SEO is the low-hanging fruit for a lot of fitness businesses is the local SEO. It's really, really difficult these days to rank for just sort of generic terms and just the normal search. But Google has really moved towards personalizing results and towards putting them in the local businesses, especially if you're like a trainer, if you have any sort of business where you're servicing local customers, then the local SEO is really important. And a great site to go to check out how you're doing with that is getlisted.org. And that's basically, you can just put in your business name and your zip code, and it'll tell you if you're listed in the major search engines and in the major local sites. But then it'll tell you where to go to get free business listings at places like Yelp and City Search and Localease and things like that. And what that does is the more local listings that the search engines, I mean, mostly Google is what we're talking about, but the more citations that Google sees, the higher up they're going to put your listing as opposed to someone who doesn't have as many reviews, say, like on Yelp or City Search, or the more sort of stuff Google can verify that you're a legitimate business, the higher up you're going to get in the search results.
Okay. Now, SEO, again, if you know, there's a lot of newbies, I guess you could say, watching this. What exactly is SEO? Like, what's the definition for it so that people understand exactly what we're talking about?
Yeah, it's SEO is search engine optimization. So it's basically just doing certain things to your site, on-site and off-site, that make Google put you up higher in the search results. So there's the things that you can do on your site, optimizing the meta tags and things. I don't know if we have time to go into this, but basically it's sort of putting keywords on your site and in the page titles and making it different for each page and things. I'm just sort of skimming over it here, but
that's fine.
Basically that's what you can do on site. And then, you know, off site is, you know, getting links and that, which is one of the biggest, it's the hardest thing to do. It's also the most important with SEO, is the more links that Google sees, you know, the higher up they're going to put you.
So, okay. We'll dive into that for just a minute, the links, because that currently that's really, really important. It's kind of like social proof saying, well, this site is pretty good. You got all these links coming in. So exactly what is so important about them and how do you go about getting links back to your website?
Linking is a really difficult process, and well, like we were talking about local SEO, this is the best way, the most, you know, the most efficient way you can start getting links is just to put up some free business listings to get in the search results of Google, and that's going to give you some inbound links. Other easy ways to do it are just sort of picking the low-hanging fruit, as it's called, and just using some business associates that you have. If you can get them to link to you, if you have clients, if you have any sort of customers that will link to you, and sort of forming new relationships. So if you sort of reach out to someone in your industry and say, hey, I have some content that may be of value to you or your readers, you know, can I get a link to it? You can do things like guest blogging.
There's
a lot of different strategies. I feel like it's such a huge subject. It's
absolutely.
But if you really want to get into SEO, a blog I would recommend is SEOMoz.org, SEOMoz.org. They're sort of one of the most legitimate, one of the best blogs out there with a ton of free content. They have a beginner's guide. It's a great place to start.
Awesome. And we're talking about links. And again, for everybody who doesn't know what links are, it's basically just someone's website and they put a link in that basically connects back to your website. So if I was on, let's say, Scott, I was on your website and you had a link to mine, I could go and visit. I could click on that link and it would automatically bring it back to my website. So for anybody who doesn't understand the linking structure, that's kind of what it is. Now, let's talk about a little bit, you know, your bread and butter, designing the websites. I mean, that's where, that's your forte, what you're really, really good at. There's a couple different ways to go. Sometimes there's people can go and have their website designs, like where they could hire you to do something like that, or there's other ways. So what are the pros and cons of having a website designed and then maybe going a different option?
Well, I'll give you a little bit of background on myself. I started out, you know, designing websites. I got into the fitness industry, and I've done a lot of sites for personal trainers, for other fitness pros, for, you know, different companies in the fitness industry and personalities. And the way it used to work is you kind of pay a designer, you know, $1,000, $2,000, $3,000, whatever it is to put up a site. And I feel like the web is sort of moving in a different direction now. A lot of people starting up small businesses don't have that kind of money to start it.
Right.
And also it's becoming easier and easier to publish your own website. And so that's when I kind of started getting into WordPress. And WordPress is, you know, it's some of the big – it's actually – I think it's the most popular software on the web now. It powers something like 14-15% of all websites. And it's like over 50 million or of the top 100,000 websites. And, you know, people like the People Magazine, New York Times, celebrities, a lot of different people are using it, all the way down to small businesses. So I've been using it for a while, and I've designed websites in a lot of different ways. I know you use WordPress. I use WordPress in a lot of different projects, and I can just say it's my favorite software. It's the easiest to get into. It's the least expensive. And what it allows you to do is basically put up a site really quick, for a very, very small amount of money, and to get a really professional site up. And so that's sort of where I've been, where my business has been going.
You're listening to an exclusive interview on Fitness Business Interviews. To hear more interviews like this, visit www.fitnessbusinessinterviews.com. Okay, now obviously you talked about you used to design websites, a couple thousand dollars a pop to do those, and then WordPress is another option to use. What's the cost difference between like you designing a site or maybe just using a WordPress option?
Yeah, so you can actually get a free site up if you go to WordPress.com, and you can they give you sort of a domain name where it would be like, you know, Scott.WordPress.com or whatever, and that's sort of a quick way to get started if you want to do something free. But if you want sort of a business website and you want to get started on the right foot, I would say you have to go your own self-hosted route. So basically you have to buy a domain and hosting, and then you put WordPress on your hosting. And that was really just the cost of the hosting and the domain name, which is usually about, you know, $8 to $10 a month, something like that for a lot of people. And then a good route to go is that once you have WordPress installed, then what you need to do is put a theme on it and put some plugins and things like that. Now, a theme is basically just the sort of the look of the site. It adds some extra functionality, and you can get a lot of themes for free, and you can you're given a default theme when you load WordPress and everything, and that's one way to go. That's basically really, really inexpensive. You can use premium themes, and premium themes basically they have a lot of extra functionality sometimes. They're easier to use. They come with support and tutorials and documentation, things that you don't get with a free theme. And we have a theme called Fit Pro that's made. It's the only theme I know of that's made just for fitness professionals. Mm-hmm. And we'll provide a link to that under the video. There's lots of great other premium theme companies out there. But there's basically a ton of options, and it's a really, really inexpensive way to get started. So you, instead of thousands of dollars, you're talking about, you know, maybe a couple hundred bucks, something like that, $200-$300, and you're done. So that's one of the best ways to get started. And if people have, you know, even if they already have a website, if they have a business idea that they kind of wanted to try out, mm-hmm. you know, you try it out for a few $100 instead of, you know, paying someone thousands of dollars. If it doesn't work, then hey, what the heck, you know, it's worth a shot for that little amount of money.
Absolutely. Now, you talked about the free version of WordPress, like WordPress.com, compared to the other version, you know, WordPress.org, and you can find themes. Which way is the better way to go if you were to choose one or the other?
I would say WordPress.com is the way to go if you want, like, a personal blog, or if you want some sort of, you know, just to kind of try it out, give it a test run for no cost. But if you want to have, like, an actual business website, you would want to go with the self-hosted WordPress version, because WordPress.com limits you. You're not allowed to upload any theme or any plugin you want. And if you do the self-hosted WordPress, you're completely in control. You have your own domain name right off the bat. You can do whatever you want with it. And it's kind of the way most people do it.
Okay. Now, I know in my case, I hate coding. I'm horrible at it. It's definitely not something I enjoy doing. For others who are kind of in a similar situation, if they take, you know, they go the WordPress route, can things be up and running without them knowing any type of coding?
Yeah, for sure. WordPress has a visual editor, so it's kind of like writing a document in Microsoft Word. So you have, you know, you can write some stuff, you upload some pictures and put it in, and you can, like, make the text bold and italic and different things like that, kind of like you would do in Microsoft Word. Mm-hmm. And you can just stick with doing that, and then everything else is kind of, especially with like a premium theme, things are sort of arranged for you. You have page templates you can choose, like make this page my blog in just like a click, and there all your blog posts will show up. There is a little bit of learning curve just getting used to sort of how WordPress works, but like we have lots of tutorials on getting started with it. But I think, you know, I'm not sure how you, maybe you can attest to this, but once you get a little past that learning curve, I think it's completely worth it, because for the rest of your life, you're empowered to, you know, have your own site and make your own edits and not have to rely on, you know, web designer to do everything for you.
Absolutely. I mean, I can completely agree. I know, because I was using different platforms before I went to WordPress, and for what I do now, I probably won't use anything other than WordPress. It's that simple. It's that easy. Like I said, I'll use that tab you were talking about, the visual tab, where, you know, I can kind of just type in there like it's Microsoft Word. But other times, you know, I will go to the other tabs where I can do a little bit of coding. But WordPress for me has been a huge thing. Now, have you found, I mean, because it is so much easier to use with what you're doing, have you found that more people are now, at least your clients, are now gearing more towards WordPress and the themes instead of you maybe like designing big sites?
Yeah, I mean, even when I design big sites, they still use WordPress. And I've done a lot of stuff for John Spencer Ellis, and he will attest to the fact that at first he was a little skeptical of WordPress, but now he's just like totally loves it and doesn't want to use anything else. And, cause it's just so cool. You can go in and, you know, if you want to make a little edit on your site, you don't have to, you know, email the web designer to go make a change. Like, he can go do it himself. He writes his own stuff. So I've made big sites with it, membership sites, you know, video sites, any, you name it, you can do it all with WordPress, and it's much more flexible. It's easier than a static site, for sure.
Right. And at one point, once you have your WordPress set up, it'll get to the point where you may want to have maybe some extra graphics or thing functionality on that. And for a person who maybe not have the funds, the business is new, they still don't have to technically hire a designer to do that. They have things that are called plugins to handle a bunch of those. Can you explain what the plugins are, and maybe just a couple of cool ones and things that can kind of, like, what they can do for a site?
Sure. Yeah. Plugins are so cool because it's kind of like you have like these really smart developer guys make plugins and that do really cool things. And all you kind of have to do is just press like, yeah, I want that one. So you go to add new plugin, you know, and then all of a sudden you just activate it. All of a sudden it's there, and it has like a, you know, big featured content gallery where the images are sliding, or you have like a contact form, or you have, you know, any number of things. Plugins do pretty much everything. So, and most of them are free, and there are some paid ones that are really good, but good ones like that I can recommend. You always want to back up your site. So there's this one called WPDB Backup, Database Backup, that I always use that's free. There's SEO plugins. A lot of themes actually come with SEO settings, so you don't always need a plugin. But if you do need a plugin, there's one by Yoast that's called, I think it's just called WordPress SEO. It's a really good one. A lot of people use all-in-one SEO as well. Contact forms, there's one called Contact Form 7, which I love. There's one called Widget Logic, which is a little bit more advanced, that I love that one too. And then for a paid plugin, Gravity Forms is a great one if you need to make basically any kind of form, surveys you can do. You know, we use it for online testing sometimes. Mm-hmm. You know, just all kinds of stuff. That one is the only one that's paid. But basically with all kinds of free stuff, you can make this killer site that you never would have been able to do, and you can do it pretty much on your own. So
yeah, absolutely. I know older sites I had, I was like, you know, I have to hire somebody to do these things, and now I can just go search that plugin list, and I'm like, oh, there it is. You click activate, and you're pretty much you're set to go. It's pretty cool, and I really like the WordPress platform. Something that you talked about before, again, you know, we're talking about having the site up and running, but if you do the self-hosted route for WordPress, you know, you need to get a domain, you need to have a hosting company. Can you explain a little bit just kind of the process of what's involved with that, getting a domain and setting up hosting for a site?
Yeah, definitely. So just to clarify, there are two parts to a website. There's your domain, which has to be, it's called domain registration. You have to register a name, like fitnessbusinessinterviews.com is a domain. You have to register that. The second part is you actually have to have a hosting account. And that's basically just a place to put your files. It's kind of like, you know, a hard drive somewhere else, basically. And so you have to have those two things together. And usually when you go to any host, you know, for instance, like I really like DreamHost, so I always recommend them. But if you go to DreamHost, you just register a domain name, buy the hosting for it, and then, you know, you're all set up. And they usually have one-click installers for things like WordPress. So you just go, install WordPress on my site, you know, right here, click, done. So it's really, really easy to do that stuff. And these days, it's really inexpensive, too. You shouldn't be paying more than, like, you know, $8, $9, $10 a month at the most.
You said
domain registration is about $10 a year, something like that, $11, $12 a year now, something like that.
Okay, now do you have to go to two different sites to register the domain name and the hosting company, or can it be done, let's say, in your case, in DreamHost?
You can do it all in one place. You can have them on. You can have your domain registered separate from your hosting if you want. You just have to sort of make those two sort of know where each other is at. If you change, it's called the DNS. Mm-hmm. But it's easiest if you just get it all in one place.
Okay, so you recommend doing it all in one place?
Yeah, if you're starting from scratch, yeah, definitely. Do it all in one place. It's easiest.
Okay, so once that's up, site's going, we've got a little bit of traffic in here and maybe some links. What's the process then if someone wants to maybe take their site to the next level? Can they continue to, let's say they go the WordPress route, can they continue to add on like through plugins, or can they have like you come in and design a whole different part of it if they wanted to expand it maybe into a membership site or something like that?
Yeah, for sure. There's really no limit to things you can add on. So you can start out with a really simple site, maybe even use a free theme or whatever. If you decide down the road to, you know, buy a theme or to get more plugins, you can always keep on adding on. And that, like things like a membership site, you can easily do that. You can actually redesign the entire theme of your site. Your content is actually separate from the way that the site looks. So you can get a new theme, you can redesign the theme, whatever, and your content will all still be there. You won't lose any of it. So, yeah, that's one of the best parts about WordPress, too. It's really, really flexible. You can move it to a different domain. You can do whatever you need to do with it. It really doesn't limit you at all.
Very interesting. All right, so we covered a bunch of different topics for you know, some of the newbies in there, and if someone has a fitness business that still don't have a site up. But is there anything else that you think is important that we didn't cover here?
See, I'd say what's really important, just to sort of reiterate, is you're going to start up a new business, start with your traffic strategy first. You know, getting a website up cheaply through WordPress is a great way to go. And then once you do that, just sort of doing the SEO and the ongoing, you know, high-quality blogging and things like that I think that's the recipe for success.
Very cool. Very cool. Scott, well, I appreciate you coming on here and sharing all kinds of awesome information. I know people are definitely going to be interested about knowing more about, you know, the WordPress platform and the plugin or the theme that you have. So can where can everybody find that information?
It's at our site, and we're going to provide a link to it down below this video. And there's lots of free tutorials on WordPress there also that they can check out if they want to sort of just, you know, get started with that.
Okay, those tutorials will walk them through kind of some of the things that we spoke about here.
Yeah, definitely. Setting up a site and, you know, installing a theme, plug-in, all that kind of stuff.
Awesome, man. Well, Scott, thank you so much for being on. I appreciate the time and all the awesome information, and I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks, Eric.
You've just listened to an exclusive interview on fitnessbusinessinterviews.com. If you're looking to take your business to the next level, or you're looking for more interviews and secret insider tips, then visit www.fitnessbusinessinterviews.com.